This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The IMF is the most pessimistic about global growth it's been since the Great Recession. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The International Monetary Fund says global growth is going to fall to 3% this year, the lowest since 2008. It revised its forecast for next year down by a tenth of a percent. Growth's expected to be lower everywhere except Brazil this year. Let's bring in Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist with Payden and Riegel. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You tell me, what's behind this IMF slowdown in growth?
Global economic data has been weaker pretty much for the last 18 months and led primarily by a slowdown in global manufacturing.
But what's driving it?
Well, I think, you know, on one sense, you have the distinction here between the soft data and hard data. Soft data is the survey data, the data where the statistical organizations would call up a purchasing manager at a large manufacturing outfit and say, are you expanding or are you contracting activity? Are you hiring or are you not hiring? And they are heavily influenced by global sentiment and the trade, the tariff story, the Brexit story, all weigh on global sentiment. And now, meanwhile, the hard data, things like actual employment, actual hiring, actual retail sales, housing starts, they've held up pretty well. And actually, retail sales in the U.S. and housing has improved in recent months. So the hard data is still holding up. Many of the soft data points, especially globally, I think in the next few months, we'll start to improve as well if we get progress on Brexit and if we get progress on the trade and tariff debacle.
All right. Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist with Payden and Riegel, thank you.
Have a great week.
Leaders from the country's top business schools have a message for the president. Current immigration policies and rhetoric could hurt the U.S. economy in the long term. 50 leaders of prominent business schools made that argument in an open letter to President Trump. They say the U.S. does not have enough of the high-skilled workers businesses need to continue to grow and innovate. They want policy changes to better fill that gap. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
The letter makes the case that business schools are training the next generation of innovators. And Bill Boulding, dean of the business school at Duke University, says the schools are seeing fewer international students.
The concern is if you see a decline in talent flowing into the U.S., then that's going to have negative long-term implications.
He says these students fear they won't be able to stay and work in the country after they graduate due to uncertainty over H-1B visas. Those are for international guest workers with specialized skills and higher education. But Ron Hira of Howard University says the system has been abused by some companies.
Firms have replaced U.S. workers with H-1Bs directly, and H-1B workers can be paid a lot less money.
Tech companies have been saying for more than a decade that the cap on H-1B visas is too strict, and it's gotten even tougher under the Trump administration. Denials of H-1B visas nearly doubled between 2017 and 2018. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And inflation in China reached 3%. Driven in part by pork. The price of pork has risen 69% in just the past year. An outbreak of African swine fever, it's a virus that's lethal to pigs, has reduced pork production in China. This may give the country an incentive to purchase more U.S. agricultural goods.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks.
As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Atlanta's downtown and neighborhoods around it grew more than 40% between 2010 and 2016. And despite that explosive growth, it is still hard to convince people to move to the city's inner core, as WABE's Roxanne Scott explains.
Pam Reeve Peterson lives on one of the many roads with Peachtree in the name. Hers is the Peachtree Street that runs downtown. She and her husband bought a three-story building 7 years ago for $145,000. After retiring as a teacher, she wanted a place where she wouldn't have to worry about tending a yard.
We found this old building that was abandoned and unloved and a foreclosure, which was critical.
She's one of the nearly 30,000 people who live downtown and in the area surrounding it. That's in a city with a population of about 500,000. The median rent in Atlanta is about $1,650. While many neighborhoods have seen tremendous growth, Reeve Peterson hasn't felt any of that. One reason is that there aren't many places to live downtown.
Land is hard to acquire. We have a lot of parking structures. We have a lot of hotels. We have a lot of stuff.
That's AJ Robinson. He's president of Central Atlanta Progress. He's been trying for years to get people to live in the area. But the downtown has an image problem, lots of aging municipal buildings. People don't want to move near City Hall or the police department. One company that's trying to change that is a German developer, Newport. It bought 48 buildings and surrounding parking downtown for about $90 million in 2016. Jake Naraki is the president of the U.S. division.
Downtown will definitely be appealing to visitors, but our core principle is to create this as a neighborhood.
The company wants to restore older buildings and try to attract restaurants, shops, and other small businesses. Resident Reeve Peterson says the neighborhood needs things like a grocery store. Standing on her home's rooftop, she says she dreams of seeing less surface parking and more neighbors milling around.
Whether they're walking down to a little bodega to pick up something to go with their dinner or picking up their dry cleaning.
Because a thriving residential downtown means there are more residents doing mundane things. In Atlanta, I'm Roxanne Scott for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.